And I want to say before we look at the scripture, I want to say thank you. Thank you for allowing me to be here as pastor. It has been a wonderful year for Deanne and I. We have thoroughly enjoyed it. I did get information in the choir room this morning from a person that I'm not going to mention Eric's name because it might embarrass him. He said, once we got past that year, now you guys can be who you really are. So, we'll find out how that goes. But no, thank you so much. It has been a great joy, and we really, really do enjoy being here. And just to minister among you and with you is a fantastic thing. Today we're going to be looking at Psalm 8. It's the first psalm in the book of Psalms that is all focused on talking to God. There's not a response from God. There is not someone else in the midst of the psalm who is leading folks. It is a very high and worthy psalm. It is one that centers upon the greatness of God and people's relationship with that. So I want to read it for you first, and then we'll spend some time talking about this psalm. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings, that you care for them. You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You have made them rulers over the works of your hands. You have put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds, and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sea, the birds in the sky, and the fish in the sea, and all that swim the path of the seas. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. What a powerful and a wonderful psalm, isn't it? I hope you noticed that as I read it, the very beginning verse and the very last verse are identical. They're both the same. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. The psalm starts out this way, and the psalm ends this way. And you see, we need to understand that God is above all and envelops all. God is above all and envelops all. If you look at the way the psalm is written, the psalmist mentions that to begin with, and the psalmist finishes up with that. He said, I want everybody to understand that God is the greatest. God is the most wonderful, and how wonderful God is. And I don't want you to forget that, because God is above all, and God is the one that holds it all together. God is the beginning and the end, the first and the last. The A and the Z, to put it in English, okay? We're used to hearing the Alpha and the Omega, right? That's the beginning letter and the ending letter of the Greek alphabet. So God is the A to the Z. God is all of them. And once I hold that in the right place, and I understand that God is above all, it's not me. God is above all. And God holds everything together. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful thing to grab a hold of. And then the psalmist says that even children and infants can understand that. Even children and infants can understand that. They notice this, they understand that, and it silences those that are against God. Do you ever remember Jesus saying, unless you become as child, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Unless you become like one of these children. It is so wonderful that children are so open, so trusting. And they are able to see how great and mighty God is. And sometimes we teach them, as they get older, to stop imagining things, don't we? We talked about that in Sunday school today. And they all, everybody in Sunday school today told me that if I was walking around the church talking to my imaginary friends, I think one of them said, oh, he's lost it. And we kind of pack our imagination away, don't we? But you see, children can see how great God is. And how big God is, and how wonderful God is, and they're willing to hand so much over to God and trust that God will take care of things. And when we see that in little children, it just silences those people that don't believe in God. Some of them might tell you they're being polite and not telling the children otherwise. But I think something happens for them, and they see that children can see that, and it causes them to stop for a moment and question. You see, when we see all of this, I still can see it. I got up in the middle of the night in the rural area of Kenya, and I walked outside, and the number of stars was absolutely incredible. I can't even explain it to you. We have in our country what's called light pollution, especially at night. And that light pollution doesn't allow us to see all the stars that are there. We only get to see the brightest of those. And I can remember walking out and looking up and just, this is incredible. Look at how many stars there are. It was almost like there was no black to the sky that night. There were stars everywhere. And I really felt like I couldn't do this without covering over a number and a wonderful number of stars. It was absolutely incredible. And when I look at all that God has created, and I look at all the animals that God has created, and I look at the scale of wonderful and big things, and I look at the scale of very, very small things, and the smallest things that we can see, you know what I can think about? Well, who am I that God cares about me? When I look at how wide and how expansive all of creation is, who am I that God cares about me? And the psalmist even asked this. The psalmist says, "What is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them. Who are we?" Why does God even care about us? I know many of you have seen some of the pictures that they took from the moon of Earth, right? And gosh, everybody's so significant when you look down on Earth from the moon. You could see everybody wave all at the same time, right? So small. Who are we? And you know, this exact verse is another place in the Bible. It's in the book of Job. And Job, in the midst of all of his suffering, he says, "Who are we that you even care about us, God?" He says the exact same words. The exact same words. You see, this question's been asked over and over again. God, who am I that you care about me? And you see, this is what we need to grab a hold of. Because God does care about us. Each and every one of us, God cares about. As we met for the book club this week, I showed him a couple of videos of Trevor Hudson, the author of the book that we're reading. And Trevor says, "Your name is carved on the crucified hands of God." Your name. You are the beloved of God, and God has carved your name on the crucified hands of God. What does that mean to you that God looks down and sees your name? Is that a God who cares? Most definitely. And look at what it says here. And I'm going to change it a little bit because I don't know why it's translated this way. Went back and look at this. Verse 5. It says, who are human beings that you care for them? And in verse 5 it says, you made them a little lower than the angels, is what the NIV translation says. I went back and looked at the Hebrew. It does not say angels. It says God. It uses the word Elohim, which is one of the names for God. It says, you have made them a little lower than God. I don't know why they changed it to angels, but I did want to let you know the translators have done that. And some of your Bibles will have a footnote to let you know that the original language says God in it. Gosh, we've been made just a little bit lower than God? What does that mean to you? What does it mean that God cares so much about us that that's the position we have? That that's how we've been made? That that's what God wants for us. That we are only, that we have been made only a little lower than God. Would you agree with me that that's pretty high standing? That's pretty high standing when you think about all the things that God has made, right? And God says, here's your place in all of creation. And you go back to Genesis, and in the book of Genesis, we have this story about a God who comes down and scoops up the clay and the mud and pushes it all together and breathes into it and makes humankind. And look at the position that we have been given because we're made just a little bit lower than God. You've made them the rulers of the works of your hands. You've put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, all that swims the paths of the seas. We have been given dominion over all of God's creation. Now, I want you to notice I did not say domination. We have been given dominion over all of God's creation. And the difference between dominion and domination is when we're given dominion, it's for taking care of. It's for making sure the best comes out of it. It's not for using it only for our benefit. It's not for overusing it. It's not for abusing it, putting it in an oppressive state. It's about taking care of it. So you see, we are co-caretakers with God. Co-caretakers with God. Co-creators with God of how this world ends up. Now, in Sunday school this morning, we were talking about some things, and a quote came to me from a man that I love very, very dearly. And I wish I had had an opportunity to meet him and spend time with him, but he was killed in a very, very tragic accident, I think in either 1968 or 1969. It's a man by the name of Thomas Merton. Thomas Merton was a Trappist monk who lived in a hermitage in the Garden of Gethsemane in Kentucky. Okay, there's a monastery there called the Garden of Gethsemane, not the Garden of Gethsemane in the Middle East. Okay, he lived there, and one of his writings that I remember reading, I can't tell you a whole lot about the whole book, but I can tell you one quote in that book that stuck with me. Thomas Merton says this, and I'm going to repeat it for you a couple of times because I didn't give it to Jonathan earlier this week. It's something that just came into my mind this morning. Thomas Merton says this: "Who am I? I am myself, a word spoken by God. Can God speak a word that has no meaning? Who am I? I am myself, a word spoken by God. Can God speak a word that doesn't have meaning?" God spoke you into existence. God knew you before you were born. God created you and knit you together. God made you into who God wanted to make you to be. And God set you just a little bit lower than God. And God said, "I spoke you into existence, therefore you do have meaning. Therefore you are valuable. Therefore you are worthy." God spoke you into existence and said, "I want to be co-caretakers with you of the whole world." God spoke you into existence and said, "I want to be co-creators with you of the kingdom of God." God chose to make us part of what God was doing. God chose to make us part of what God was doing in this world. What does that mean to you? What would happen if we could grab a hold of that and we could live it? What would happen if we could grab a hold of it and we could live it? Would this world be different? God says you are valuable. God does love you. And I believe every one of us should be able to hear the same words that Jesus heard when he was baptized. "You are my beloved, and in you I am well pleased." And I think God goes on to say, "And I have created you to be part of and to have dominion over all that I have created." Wonder what would happen if we could grab a hold of that and we could live that. Understanding God's place and knowing where God is in all of this, God is over and above, and God is at the ends, and God is underneath. Why do I like that song, "All Creatures of Our God and King"? Doesn't sound much different than Psalm 8, does it? All come together and praise God. I also like it because of the person who wrote it, by the way. And if you don't know who wrote it, I'll tell you, and I'll let you go look it up. His name was Saint Francis of Assisi. I've got a couple of different statues of him, I guess you would say. There's one in my office. There's one in my cave at home where I exist. Those of you that don't know what a cave is, that's the place you go when your wife says, "Step away from me for..." No, it's... That's the place I go to meditate. That's the place I go to study when I'm at home. That's the place where I go to separate myself from other things. And there's a statue of St. Francis that's there. There's one that my wife found that I really, really love. And I think speaks very, very deeply. You see, St. Francis was known not only to preach the gospel to people, but St. Francis was known to preach the gospel to animals. And some folks might say, what a crazy man. And that's why most of the statues that you see of him, he's normally standing like this, right? And what else do you see? Birds. There's normally either birds in his hands or birds on his shoulders. That's St. Francis of Assisi. You see, he had a church just for preaching to the animals. People didn't need to be there. And the one statue that I really enjoy that my wife found for me many years ago and we have sitting as you come in our front door is St. Francis is sitting down with his feet out in front of him with his hands on his knees and there are birds in his hands. You see, I think St. Francis had a very good idea of what it meant to be co-caretakers of this earth with God. Something that was a very, very important position for him. There's a lot of other things that St. Francis did that I greatly appreciate, but I'll let you go read his story about all the different things that he did. But that's why you normally hear or see statues with him holding birds. Because he really took very seriously what it meant in Psalm 8. About us being co-caretakers with God. So I want to ask you as we close up today in thinking about all this, in thinking about your position of where God has created you and how much God cares for you and how much God loves you, can you have the confidence to take your role as co-caretaker with God for this world? Can you have the confidence to take your role as co-caretaker with God of this world? Let us pray. Lord, you've given us a place in creation that is above everything else except you. You've given us a place in creation where you say you are worthy. I do care for you. I do want you to be part of what's going on in this world. You ask us not only to be co-caretakers, but co-creators in this new kingdom. Lord, help us to see how much you value us. Help us to see how much you trust us. And help us to live into these roles that you have for us, that we might bring you praise and honor and glory forever. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.